Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Recognizing the signs and symptoms in your child of disordered eating, whether it's anorexia or bulimia or something else, is so important for parents to know and to know these red flags. My guest is Dr. Yolanda Reed Casiacos. She's a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the David Geffen School of Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Casiacos. So what do you think the first most important point that parents should know about disordered eating in their teenagers?
It's more common than we might think, and I have to say that unfortunately we're living in an environment in which we're constantly bombarded by body image pictures that are idealized. In other words, what we see through the media are unnatural and unrealistic images, and young women and young men as well. Nowadays, we're seeing more and more men with disordered eating issues. But young women certainly are seeing pressure to meet an idealized and unrealistic body image. And so this can sometimes, in many young people, even preteens, trigger eating disordered issues. Among the most common ones, there tend to be three that have been commonly identified, although disordered eating can be seen in a significant percentage of the population. But the most common ones are anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, and binge eating disorder. Anorexia nervosa can be seen in as common as 1% of the population, and this is diagnosed when people become about 15% less in their weight than their normal body weight should be, and extreme weight loss, which happens occasionally with anorexia, can actually lead to severe health problems such as dehydration, irregular heartbeats, and even death. Anorexic individuals tend to not be, unlike the name, which actually means not hungry or lack of appetite, they actually do often tend to be hungry, but they want to have control over their lives. They have a vision of themselves as being overweight or obese, even when they're very, very, very thin. And so they try to control their anxiety, sometimes some depression, and their worries about themselves, their self-esteem, and their body image by controlling their food intake. And they tend to eat unhealthily and eat very little, sometimes exercising excessively to burn off calories that they may not even be eating. And that can lead to anorexia nervosa. With bulimia, more of those folks, and we see this in about 1 to 5% of the population, more of those folks with bulimia tend to engage in binge eating, where they will go ahead and eat a lot at one sitting beyond being full, sometimes to the point of feeling ill, and then going ahead and purging in some way for a sense of relief. And that purging can be vomiting, using laxatives, or water pills that can increase the amount of fluid that's relieved from the body. And compulsive exercising is another way that folks can burn off calories from the binge eating that occurs with bulimia. And this occurs in cycles. Folks with bulimia can be overweight or heavy, but in most cases they tend to be around normal weight. The problem with bulimia is that it has also significant health risks, such as causing erosion of dental enamel, swelling of the salivary glands in the cheeks so that they're puffy cheeks, irregular heartbeats that often can be triggered because valuable electrolytes are lost through vomiting and laxative use. Both of these conditions are associated with mental health issues such as anxiety, such as depression, sometimes with a family history. And so it's certainly helpful for if you are concerned that your son or daughter may have a disordered eating issue, that you see your pediatrician for a physical examination, probably some laboratory tests, which can include a blood count, electrolyte analyses to make sure that the sodium and potassium and other electrolytes are normal, probably check the thyroid, and some other tests that might be appropriate, and in many cases, an EKG to look at heart rhythm disturbances. And then your pediatrician can work with you to assist your son or daughter in moving towards a healthier eating pattern. Sometimes what's needed, and it's often very helpful, is a referral to a registered dietitian or nutritionist who can help not only the young person, but the whole family adopt healthier eating patterns. In other
Dr.
cases,
Kasiakos, is there something you can tell the parents listening, things that they should spot? Because the confusing portion is that for parents, especially parents of teenage girls, mm-hmm. they can see their teenage girls maybe eating just a salad or not eating. And maybe it's just that this child is trying to watch their weight or lose some weight or maintain or fit into their prom dress or whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean it's disordered eating. So how do you spot the real red flag, something that you can tell parents right now, a list that they can take with them and say, wow, my daughter is doing that, 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 and that. I better call my pediatrician.
Well, I think you have to look at the whole picture, but obviously not eating a healthy diet is one thing. Withdrawing from social activities, noticing a drop in academic performance, noticing withdrawal from other types of activities that were once, your son or daughter was once very excited about, for exercising, not wanting to eat with the family, but preferring to eat in private because of a sense of shame or a sense of embarrassment, running to the bathroom after being at the table, refusing to eat, being overly preoccupied with food and cooking, and perhaps asking others to eat but not eating oneself, and then physical symptoms such as weight loss, sometimes which can be disguised because folks with anorexia will often wear loose or baggy clothing that hides how much weight they've actually lost. I've had a parent call me because they didn't realize how much weight their daughter had lost until they went to the beach and saw her in a bathing suit and noticed how thin she was, and then they became concerned. So these are some of the symptoms that we're talking about. There is a psychological component to many of these issues, and your pediatrician can work with you to evaluate whether some counseling also can be helpful for your son or daughter to help them get back on track. And in some cases, if there is a secondary diagnosis, such as depression or anxiety, then in some cases there is medication, such as antidepressants, that can help young people get back on track in this regard. But these are some of the tips that parents can look for. The important thing, I think, is to know your son or daughter. And if you notice something that's different, if your instincts are telling you something is wrong here, then it's time to have a conversation, to ask them, is everything okay? Is there something that I can do to help? And if your son or daughter isn't forthcoming, I do recommend an evaluation with your pediatrician, because sometimes young people will disclose to their doctors something that they may not be comfortable in disclosing to a family member. So
that is so important that parents not only communicate, but if you have these suspicions, call your pediatrician. Maybe your child will communicate with that pediatrician themselves. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening. You're listening to Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day and stay well.